He's not a member of the Stop the War Coalition. He's the head of the British Army. Our presence there is exacerbating this problem, and we ought to get out quickly.
Let me read you the words of the father of Alex Green, just died a few days ago in Iraq, serving with the Duke of Lancashire's regiment. And he had a two-year-old boy, and his father wrote this. He said, "We shouldn't pull the troops out. If we'd pulled out last week, of course my son would still be alive, but it's not the right thing to do, because if we go out, who will go in?" As if the British public is saying, "We know there are going to be more deaths to bring democracy in Iraq, but we don't want our boys dying. Send somebody else's boys." And if you say that, he said, "You're saying that my son died in vain."
Well, I'm sorry to say that he did die in vain, and he died on a pack of lies. And I can give you a large number of military families, bereaved parents just like that one, who are saying the complete opposite, who are saying that my son went to his death on a lie for the vanity of Tony Blair.
But with respect, isn't the question about whether the war was sold on a lie irrelevant
no.
now? Because
no,
we've moved on. Iraq is in a terrible place. No. Everybody would agree with that. The question is how best to deal with that terrible
situation.
With
respect, you say everyone would agree with that, but when people like me were predicting it, we were rubbished and ridiculed and traduced by this very same corporation that now says everyone agrees with that. Well, it's not a question of point scoring. It's a question of having to understand where we've been, how we got here, in order to know what we have to do now. The truth is, there will be many more such young soldiers, mainly American, but unless we continue to be very lucky, including significant number of British casualties, who are dying for nothing. Nothing's going to change in Iraq as long as they are there. Now, that's not to say that everything in Iraq will get better if the coalition forces withdraw. It's a necessary but not sufficient condition that they should withdraw. In other words, if they don't withdraw, nothing will ever get better.
Do you regret, looking back at what you've said over the last few years, do you regret some of your comments made about the presence of British troops in Iraq and the nature of the insurgency, because you upset an awful lot of people?
I'm the person that got it right about Iraq. I mean, honestly, that's a perverse question. If you go back through what I said...
You say it's perverse. I just want to quote to you some of your own language.
Yeah.
During 2003, you described the US and British as attacking Iraq like wolves.
Who would dispute it? Who would
it's the nature of the language. The best thing British troops can do is refuse to obey illegal orders,
well,
you say.
It is an obligation under Nuremberg to refuse illegal orders. I'm surprised you pray that one in aid against
me. Well, I just wonder whether you regret it.
They have done? Should they have obeyed illegal orders?
My point, obviously, it is a debate which you can have with the Blair government about whether those orders were illegal. It's not a debate you're going to have with me. What I'm interested in is whether you regret using the sort of language which made it easy for your enemies, your political enemies, and I'm thinking about inside the Labour Party, to chuck you out of the party.
No, it was unfair to the noble wolf to compare him to Bush and Blair. These two men have caused the deaths, if you believe The Lancet, the Journal of the British Medical Association, and the Johns Hopkins University, of almost 750,000 people. That's a very, very big pool of blood. That's a very, very big mass grave. And if the accurate prediction that that would turn out to be so is to be held against one, then that would compound what I think is a real problem in this country. You see, the only person in the BBC who actually told the truth was Andrew Gilligan, and he got sacked. The man who backed him, Greg Dyke, the Director General, stood by his man and got sacked. Gavin Davis stood by his DG and got sacked. Piers Morgan in the Mirror got sacked. I got sacked. The people that were right about Iraq, who stood up and told people what they needed to hear, have been marginalised, traduced, ridiculed.
I want you
and
to
the
consider,
others have not.
Yeah, I want you to consider, though, in retrospect, whether you could have phrased things, used different language. For example, in GQ magazine in May of last year, you said, "A suicide bomb attack on Mr. Blair would be morally justifiable, logical, explicable, and morally equivalent to the ordering of the deaths of thousands of innocents as Blair did in Iraq."
Quite so. If the Iraqi man whose life had been destroyed, country occupied, broken, ruined, if his family was in Abu Ghraib, these are all the the conditions in this hypothetical.
You see, but it's the language which we hear from Ayman al-Zawahiri, from Al-Qaeda.
That's
are
just
you
not
happy?
Fair. That's not fair.
But it is,
look,
it is the language that we hear from them.
No, because if you were being honest to your viewers, you'd have to tell them I was answering a question from Piers Morgan, who said, if you were an Iraqi whose country had been occupied, etc., etc., could you justify a suicide bomb attack on the Prime Minister? Of course, as a hypothetical question, no one could dispute that. It would be unfair to leave the viewers with the impression I came along the road and blurted out that a suicide bomb attack on the Prime Minister would be justified. But of course, no such suicide bomb attack is going to take place, nor should it, because it would merely make every matter worse. However, bomb attacks on British soldiers, much less well protected than the Prime Minister, whose cars don't have armour on them, unlike the Prime Minister's, whose equipment is not sufficient to defend them, are dying in bomb attacks all the time.
To be clear, you are saying, and sticking to this point, are you, that Blair ordered premeditated mass murder?
Yes, he's a mass murderer. He is responsible for far more deaths than the obscurantist savage bin Laden. He's responsible for far more deaths than Saddam Hussein. He's responsible with Mr. Bush for everything that happened in Abu Ghraib, for everything that happened on the killing fields of Iraq and beyond, because against the law, illegally, and on a pack of lies, he launched aggressive war, which Nuremberg described as the ultimate war crime.
So would you shake Tony Blair's hand right now?
Not only as a prelude to shaking him by the throat. So if you think that you've encountered someone here who thinks this is all just a kind of normal policy mistake, you're wrong.
Well, I just want to pursue this idea about the handshake.
Mr. Blair's a criminal. Mr. Blair
a criminal. You've made that point very clear. Yeah. I just want to compare and contrast with your behaviour and your attitude towards Saddam Hussein. Mm-hmm. You had a couple of meetings with Saddam Hussein. Mm-hmm. They lasted several hours. You shook his hand very happily in his presence. You said, sir, I salute your courage, your strength, your indefatigability.
Well, actually, quite a few of the things you've just said there are wrong.
You didn't shake his hand.
I didn't meet him for several hours. I met him once for 4 minutes and once for 90 minutes. That's not several hours.
Well, that adds up to 1 hour and 34 minutes, but that's by the way.
Which is not several hours.
Well, it's more than an hour.
But it's not several hours.
It's more than an hour, and you certainly
I will deal with each of your points. I'll deal with each of your points, Seriatim. Just don't get them wrong. 1 hour and 34 minutes is not several hours. Secondly, I did not salute his courage, strength, and indefatigability. I saluted the Iraqi people's courage, strength, and indefatigability, which, if you saw the whole of the speech, you would know to be true.
Thirdly, did read the speech, and I read that line in it. It seems pretty straightforward.
You actually haven't. Nobody's read the speech because it doesn't exist in any written form.
Purported to be the speech on the internet, which included this line, sir, I salute your courage, your strength, and your indefatigability.
Yes, but if you had read the whole speech, you would know that the Y-O-U-R in question was the Iraqi people. However, that was 12 years and a million dead people ago, so let's come up to date. I am not responsible for Saddam Hussein.